With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And now, for those fans around the world, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Out of Liverpool, England!
It was super necessary.
Hi, Celeste, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very, very good. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Busy day training.
Yes, I literally just got home out of shower. My hair's a mess. Sorry.
It's okay, man's always a mess, don't worry about it. Right, so let's get into it. So for those who are just joining us, I'm joined by Celeste Hansen, one championship, atomweight, over 50 fights in Muay Thai, been competing for around about 9 years now, I think it is. So yeah, thank you for joining me, Celeste. So normally I start these by normally asking how people got started in combat sports, but with yourself, I wanted to mix it up a bit because I read about yourself and you didn't have the most traditional upbringing and starting in combat sports, did you really? So I read that you grew up in a family of carnival workers and like traveling year round in Australia and things like that. What was that like for you growing up?
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, it taught me a lot of business skills. Like, I know how to run a business. And I had a different lifestyle. So, like, yeah, I wasn't like a 9 to 5. Like, I know, like, I can do different things, you know? Like, maybe I wouldn't have the confidence to move to Thailand if I didn't have such a crazy different lifestyle. So, yeah, it was really nice. I really liked it.
Yeah. And like, so what was it about Muay Thai in particular that made you want to pursue that as a career instead?
I tried it out and yeah, I really liked it. But growing up, I had a family friend, Johnny Lewis. He's a famous boxing trainer. I always kind of dreamt about going to live with him and be a boxer, but like it just never was like possible because I was always traveling. And then yeah, I tried it. I was really lost in life and I didn't have anything to make me happy or goals or purpose. And then I tried Muay Thai out and I loved it. And I was like, this is it. I know this is it. And yeah, that's, I just made it my whole life.
Yeah. Is there anything from sort of that, that traveling around Australia all year round kind of thing and just that part of your life was, is there anything you've been able to take from that and incorporate into your combat career?
Maybe like mental toughness, because sometimes you have money, sometimes you don't have money. The work's really hard. It's kind of like a fight camp. Like, say you have in Australia, we call them shows. You have a show that goes for 2 weeks, and then you have to set up for a week before, then work the show. It's kind of exactly the same as a fight camp. So it just feels normal.
I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't expect you to say that working a carnival and doing a fight camp would be similar or normal, but hey ho, I suppose if that's all you've ever known, that's what it is. So I read that you left home and went to boarding school when you were 11, I believe it was. Did that experience help with moving to Thailand? Did that make it a little bit easier because you'd already kind of done it in a way?
Yeah, I think so. So actually, like growing up, my mum and dad worked a lot. So I had to go stay with my grandma or stay with family friends sometimes, not all the time, when they were working. So like from a young age, I was pretty independent. And then, yeah, going to boarding school at 11, like, it definitely, I was definitely independent as such a young girl. And then by the time I finished school, like, I was already moved out of home. So, like, a lot of people I see, even at Fairtex right now, there's a lot of people that are 18, 19, never left home. And then they're coming to the live in Thailand and just, it's just, yeah, I definitely was a different person too. I see people that have never done that sort of thing. So it definitely helped me.
Yeah. Was that like a bit of a culture shock at all when you went to boarding school, just because it was sort of completely different to what you'd known?
Oh, so different. I cried my eyes out every day for like the first 3 months. I bawled my eyes out saying to my mom, please come get me. I hate it here. Yeah, it was just such, yeah, that's, I've never thought about it, but it's definitely the right word. It's a death. A culture shock because I'm not used to living in the same place, a house, because I live in a caravan. sounds weird saying it out loud. And just seeing the same people every day because, when we work the carnivals, we move to different places. Some people do the same shows, but like there's no consistency. Whereas this was like consistent every second of every day.
Yeah. Was it weird sort of being in a routine in that sense then?
Yeah, for sure. Because I mean, being on the show is like sometimes you're working, sometimes you're not. Like, yeah, the consistent. I've never thought about all these things, but definitely the consistency was crazy
Yeah,
different.
I can imagine, because I can only imagine anyway, but like working at Carnival, I can imagine no 2 days are the same, whereas boarding school, I imagine every second of every day feels like the same.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's kind of like fight camp now. Like I'm in routine now, and everything's the same. Now I like it. I don't think I would like to go back to the inconsistency. I enjoy fight camp so much. Like when I'm not in fight camp, I hate everything. But when I'm in fight camp, I know what I got to do, when, where. Like I love it.
That's good to hear. So, reading, I was when I was sort of looking up and sorting my questions out for this, there's quite a few articles about yourself and your life and just your upbringing and just life before Muay Thai and things like that. And I read that you quit drinking in 2018, April 2018. So coming up to 6 years now. How difficult was that? Because I read that you quit prior to that and then started drinking again, but now it's obviously for good. How difficult was it the second time around?
It was really easy because I filled that void with Muay Thai. Whereas before I was drinking so much because I didn't have anything else to do and it was the only fun thing we would do. Like I think that's a universal thing. The only time you socialize, you go out and have a drink together. Whereas now I spend my time going to the gym and I see my friends there and like I don't need a drink anymore. And I don't like being hungover. I don't like the way it gives me anxiety, depression, like I'm so much happier without it. So yeah, it was really easy to give it up
Yeah.
and changing your friendship circle and that sort of stuff
Yeah.
meant
And I
easy.
think when you are doing the drinking and things like that, you don't really realize the negatives that it's having at the time, do you? Until you actually do stop.
Yeah, 100%. Like when you're in it, you're like, oh, I feel like so shit. I hate my life. You drink, it's fun. So you kind of forget that. But then, yeah, once you stop it all, you're like, wow, life's amazing.
Yeah. So in again looking through just the various articles and things like that, I noticed you called yourself a champion drinker at the time, because you had an all or nothing approach to everything you did in life. Is that just how you've always been?
Yeah, I think, yes, I've always been like that. And yeah, when I drank until like, I passed out, I couldn't walk, or like cars nearly hit me. Like, I nearly died so many times. But yeah, now I can dedicate that 100% to Muay Thai, even though sometimes it maybe is unhealthy, but I love it. So it's okay for me.
Yeah. Do you think you would have been able to carve out a successful career in Muay Thai if you didn't have that approach to things?
No, not at all, because I see other people that don't have that 100% dedication and they like, oh, today I'm tired, or today I have a family gathering, or I'm busy, or I don't want to fight because I have a cold. Whereas if you have that 100%, you're like, even if my arm's broken, I'll fight. I don't care.
So, You mentioned obviously the gym, Fairtex. So how long have you been at Fairtex now then?
I've been there for just over a year last December, so yeah, a few months, and yeah, I love it. It's sick.
Yeah, I know it's got a very family atmosphere there from, I've seen various posts on social media. It's a very, very famous, well-known gym, even, here in the West. You've described Philip Wong, founder of Fairtex, as the best human being that you've ever met. What is it about him that makes him so special?
Oh, I'm gonna cry hearing that because it is true. He's just like an amazing leader. Like he actually cares about people. I don't know why I want to cry. He's so beautiful. Like he feeds everyone at the gym. He gives them like snacks and like fruit. Like after training, he gave us all watermelon. He gives everyone accommodation. Like in fight camp, he cooks special food, and he wakes up early every morning to come to training to help us. And afternoon, he's like 80, and he dedicates his whole life to us, to making our dreams come true. Like you don't see that often, and he's very like hard, but it comes from a loving place. And yeah, he's just the best. I love him a lot.
That's why the gym is so successful, though, isn't it? Because he's hard on you, but it's for the right reasons.
100%. Whereas I've previously been at other gyms and the bosses, they don't care nothing like him. They don't really come to training. They're like, "Well, I'm the boss. I'm the best. Like, I don't need to work. I don't need to do anything." And like, they'll just take, so like in Thailand, they take money from your like a percentage, but other gyms will just take the money and whatever. But Mr. Wong, he like feeds you, gives you accommodation, gives you snacks, like. He invests back into his business and his gym because he loves it.
Yeah, and
He's
I
a
know.
giver.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's amazing to hear, and you hear, so many stories about various people in the sport, but you can tell how much respect you have for him. And I noticed this in one of the articles I was reading. You refer to him as Mr. Wong, as you just have done there. It's like there's so much respect there that you call him Mr. Wong rather than by his first name or anything like that. I think that just goes to show how respected he is.
Yeah, he's 100% respected. Where, like, there's people I've met in life that were like high power or high above, and I don't want to respect them because they're not nice people. Whereas Mr. Wong, I actually 100% respect him and love him, and yeah, I look up to him.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful to hear. So, going back to 2021, you competed in the first all-female Muay Thai fight at the Lumpini Boxing Stadium. How proud of that accomplishment does that make you? Like, it's a monumental moment.
Yeah, that was amazing. Like honestly, like when I first came to Thailand like 8 years ago, I told the trainers I want to fight at Lumpini. They all laughed at me and said that that would never happen. And I was like, "Oh yeah, you want to see? I'll be the first ever girl fight at Lumpini." They all laughed at me, but yeah, it came true. And I'm just so happy to be a part of the movement for women. I believe it's the golden age now for women, and we're progressing. And yeah, I just feel so grateful I can be a part of helping that because I know how it felt before when women had nothing.
Yeah. And I'll be in particular one of very, very forward in promoting the women fights and the women fighters that they've always have been for as long as I've been following them, which it isn't the longest time, but certainly the obviously the biggest organization of their type in the world, and for them to be pushing it is amazing. So obviously you're a massive figure and an inspiration in the world of, women's Muay Thai. How much have you seen the sport grow for women since you've been in Thailand?
Oh, like crazy. Like, I can't even explain it in words. I first came to Thailand. The best thing you could do was fight at the local stadium. There was no women rankings, but you couldn't really become a champion anywhere. Like, there was just the best thing you could do was become a champion at the local stadium. And a lot of people didn't take women seriously. We had to go under the ropes. And now it's completely different. Like, there's world rankings. There's multiple world championships. Yeah, there's one that's promoting women. You can become a superstar. And you can actually have like a career and good money out of this. And yeah, gyms are investing more in women, and trainers are taking women more serious. Like, it's amazing. I'm really happy with it.
Yeah. What would you say is in your opinion has been the big catalyst for that change?
I think like slowly they let women into the TV shows, and people were seeing on TV, and women were performing very good. And maybe like the next generation, like men had children that were daughters, and then they trained them, and so they took women seriously. Like, for example, Petteja, she is now like the best woman Muay Thai in the whole world. And I think, yeah, it's the next generation. People are like, give my daughter a chance. So I think that that's really helping it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're seeing a change in just global sport, combat sports. Anyway, you've got kids starting it at a very young age. Now you see shows where there's kids of like 4 and 5 having fights and things like that. So I think it's just a shift in dynamic, but it's obviously a very positive one, and it's been massive for Thailand and for women in general. So one thing I did want to ask, slightly going a bit away from that, but looking at your record on Tapology, which doesn't show everything. Tapology, I know, isn't very good for things like that. But one thing that did stand out on there was a fight back in 2021 again at something called Fight Circus.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, it didn't give any information. It didn't even say who the winner was. But I mean, what was that, like some kind of like sort of gimmick fight, or was that?
It was just a gimmick fight. I was in a phone booth. I just did it for money, and the guy who made it is my friend, and I really like him. And it wasn't serious or anything like that.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I had to ask about that. As I say, it's really when you're looking at your record, it's like, oh, Muay Thai, and then you've got custom rules and fight circus. It kind of just jumps out at
Oh,
you.
I didn't even know it was there. I didn't even, how did they even know that? Like,
I don't know. They've got, I think they had Narnia fights on Tapology, and that was one of them somehow. They've forgot about the other over nearly 50 fights that you've had and made sure that that's on there. So.
what? Yeah, how do you even know? Like, it wasn't like live streamed or anything. Like, I don't know.
I think that's just Tapology for you. So as I mentioned, you've had over 50 fights in around about 9 years now. So how have you been able to stay so active?
When I first came to Thailand, well, actually Phuket mainly, I was fighting like every week. And one time I fought on Friday, then Saturday. Like, it was just so good to be active. Like, but then I would have had bloody 80 fights by now if it wasn't for COVID, like most of us. But yeah, in Phuket, there's fights every night, so you can fight as often as you want. So that's definitely how I racked it up, the experience.
All right, okay. Very, very different to a norm to, what you see elsewhere in the world, where, 3 or 4 months at least in between fights and things like that.
Yeah,
Could
that's
that
me
be
right now. It bloody sucks. I miss fighting. This is not normal. I don't want to wait 3, 4 months.
Again, it's just all new for you now, isn't it? Especially being in one. It's what's been the experience like for you in one so far?
Yeah, amazing. I love ONE so much. They're amazing. They take care of their fighters, like, and yeah, it's like because they're global, it's so amazing now. Australia people can get to know you, like UK, like the whole world. Whereas before it was kind of just Thailand. But yeah, I really enjoy ONE and what they do for their athletes and the shows that they put on. And I love the style. I love everything about them.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the most, I think, the most unique promotion in the world. I know we a couple of years ago we spoke to Mitch Chilton on here, and he was saying about us over in the sort of in the West, the UK, US, things like that. We'll see the UFC as being the biggest promotion, but in Asia, there's places that haven't even heard that the UFC. It's all about one championship, and now over in the UK, we've got a deal with Sky Sports now, so the events are going to be broadcast live in the UK, which I think is amazing and absolutely huge to grow the promotion on this side of the world.
Yeah, I agree. In Australia, they have with Channel 7 as well. Like, it's just, yeah, it's gonna like boom soon. Like,
Yeah, it's looking good. It's looking very good for one. So somebody else we've spoken to on this podcast before is Peter Miller, who goes by Condition Nutrition on Instagram. I know you've been working with him for a little while now. So how much has he helped you on that side of things?
Oh, so much. But first, I just want to say, you guys sound the same. He's the best. I love him so much. Honestly, he took me to the next level with my career. I started with him where I fought for the WBC world title. And then after that, was the road to one. And at that time, I was like 49 kilos, but the weight was at 52 because a one championship starts at 52. So I told him, I was like, oh, like I need to get my weight really high. And he definitely helped me build so much muscle. Now I'm so much stronger. Like, he honestly, like, the best. He, like, his job, him as a person. Like, he even cornered me in my last fight once.
All right, did he? Yeah,
Yeah.
that's incredible. I mean, the growth he's had since we spoke to him, when because at the time he reached out to us to come on. Like he was, I think he, I don't know how long he'd been doing it, but to see how much he's grown in a short space of time is a testament to him and his work. It's incredible, and you know you get the benefits of that now. It's great to see. So to finish off, then you had four fights in 2023. How active are you hoping to be this year? But I can imagine it's probably not going to be as active as you want it to be, but in an ideal world.
In an ideal world, I'd love to fight every month, but yeah, it's one doesn't isn't like that. So I don't know. I just want to fight as often as I can.
Yeah. And what's the, have you got like a goal in mind for this year, or are you just hoping to stay healthy and compete, essentially?
Yeah, I have a few goals. Like, I obviously want to win and build my name back up because I lost the last two. And yeah, just fight really good. Get some good highlights and build confidence in myself and fight big names and win and just fight as often as I can.
Yeah, I love the attitude. You just want to get in there and fight, and that's it. It's lovely. You love to see it, to be honest. But yeah, so that was everything. But again, I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your evening, there in Thailand to join me and have a chat. And it's been great to get to know you and learn about your career a little bit.
Oh, it was very nice to get to know you. Thank you for asking me. I love your podcast.
Thanks very much. Really appreciate it. Best of luck. I will be looking out for all your next fights, and I say now that we've got it on Sky Sports, I can watch it live, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Oh, thank you. Actually, my next one's February 16th.
February, okay, perfect. So I'll look forward to that. And I'll definitely be staying up for it. But yeah.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks very much for your time once again.
Thank you, too.
This is the greatest. I love it.
It was super necessary.
Go now.